Now may I have your attention for about 25 minutes at the most. A very important portion of God's Word and something that will help you if you'll give me, from the children to the teenagers to every adult here, your undivided attention. The Christian and the world are Stay on the Highway is the title of our message. Listen to the story and then the message. The Jews, the Israelites, had for 40 years been in the wilderness. Now the Lord says, you've tarried long enough here. I want you to begin your journey toward the Promised Land. But as we used to say where I came from, smack dab in the middle, right in the middle, was the land of Moab. Now here are God's people, and here's God's land. God's people are not yet to God's land. To get to God's land, they have to go through a heathen land. Now, before they go through, Moses sends out messengers to Moab and talks to the king and wants to make an agreement with the king as to the conditions of their traveling through them. Here's what he said. He said, now, Your Highness, we'd like to come through. Now, we'll promise you we'll not bother anybody. And here's what he said. Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. Now, the highway that he talks about here was called the King's Highway. This is where you get the songs about the King's Highway. The highway was the King's Highway. It was the highway that was kept up with the king. It was the one that was the one the king on which the king would travel and was kept up with the king. Now, Moses said, let us pass through. We'll not go to the right nor to the left. We'll not buy any property, not as much as 1 foot's width. We'll mind our own business. Let us come through. We're on our way to our land, but while we're in your land, we promise we'll not get involved with the things that belong there. Now he said this, I will neither turn to the right nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. Now every person here, listen to what I'm saying this morning. We are God's people. Those of us who've been saved, we are God's people. We too are bound for the Promised Land, heaven. But on our journey toward the Promised Land, we of necessity have to pass through this heathen land, and God knows it's getting more heathen all the time. We have to pass through. Like it or not, we have to live here. Now, here is a message to us as to how we ought to behave as we journey through Moab toward heaven. I want to call your attention to several things. Now, God is saying, Moses says this. He says, now, King, we have to pass through Moab. It's on our way toward the Promised Land. We will stay on the King's Highway. We will not veer to the right nor to the left. All we ask of you is that when we get hungry, let us buy some of your food and we'll pay you for it. When we get thirsty, let us buy some of your water and we'll pay you for it. But all we'll do is pass. We'll not cause any trouble. We'll not get in any fights. We'll not buy that much property. It's yours, not ours, as we walk through. I want you to call your attention, quickly, seven things that Moses was instructed by God to do with his people as they marched through Moab toward the Promised Land. And each of these things is an instruction from God to us concerning our entanglements with earth as we march toward heaven. Now, in the first place, they walk the King's Highway. Now, what is the King's Highway? It's the will of God for your life. The king had come before Moses and built a highway. He had kept that highway up. Now, he said to Moses, and Moses made an agreement with him, I will follow your prescribed course. You have built the highway. I'll stay on that highway. Let me say this morning, God, the king, has a will for your life. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this room this morning, God has a will for your life. And as the choir sang a while ago, stay on the King's Highway. Don't veer off the will of God, not to the right nor to the left. Don't get on tributaries. Don't get on sidetracks. Don't get on little trails. Just stay right in the center of the will of God for your life. Young people, you've not lived as long as some of us. But may I say to you, the only safe place in this world for a child of God is right in the center of God's will. Find the King's highway. Stay on the King's highway. Don't veer to the right. Don't veer to the left. Old people, children, all Christians, stay on the King's highway. Number two, they were to avoid the thrills of the Moabites. May I read for you, and I'll ask you not to use your Bibles because of time. In verse 5, God says, "Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as one foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession." Now, the word "meddle" there means thrill not with them. That's what it means. Thrill not with them. Don't be excited with them. Now, follow me. He said you're going through Moab, but don't get thrilled by what thrills them. Don't meddle with them. Don't seek Moab's thrill. Here's what he's saying. On your way to heaven, you don't have to have a bottle of beer to have a thrill. On your way to heaven, you don't have to have a shot of heroin or LSD to have a thrill. On your way to heaven, you don't have to have a smoke of marijuana to have a thrill. On your way to heaven, you don't have to have a nightclub to have a thrill. God said, "Now, Moses, you tell my people that they call ahead or send messengers ahead and tell the king, we're going to go through your land, if it be all right with you, but we'll not turn to the right nor left, and we'll not meddle with you. We'll not be thrilled by what thrills Moab." Ladies and gentlemen, let me say, I have seen it 10,000 times 10,000. The thrills of this world are counterfeit, synthetic, only for a season, temporary. They will not. Why in the world should a people who walked over a Red Sea on dry ground have to meddle with Moab thrills? Why in the world would people who have followed a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night have to borrow thrills from a cheap Moabite world? Why should God's people who've eaten manna from heaven and water from a smitten rock and seen miracle after miracle, why should God's redeemed people have to borrow the cheap thrills of Moab? And why should God's people have to borrow the thrills of this heathen, sin-cursed world? Last night, all over this area, I drove down as I do on Saturday night, drove down the street, turned right down this little dark leaf-in, limp-out joint on the corner. All over this area last night, people walked into these little taverns and nightclubs and dives and joints trying to get some kind of a thrill. This morning, a brown taste in their mouth, feel a dirty feeling in their consciences, and an empty feeling in their stomach and a dead feeling in their hearts. Why? They tried to borrow the cheap, dirty thrills of Moab. May I say to God's people, all people of God this morning, you don't have to borrow Hollywood. You don't have to borrow the hippie thrill. You don't have to borrow the cheap marijuana, dope, drinking, dancing, cursing, dirty joke, playboy reading crowd. We're God's people. Stay on the highway. Stay on the highway. Stay right in the center of God's will. And do not borrow the thrills of Moab. But there's something else. He said avoid conflicts with Moab. Now then, he said, we're going to go right down the King's highway. We have to go through Moab. No choice. The promised land is on the other side of Moab. We have to go through. Now he said this, don't fight. Don't meddle. Don't conflict yourself with Moab. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, be nice. Be courteous. Now this is somebody else's country, he said, as you go through Moab. Be courteous. Be nice. Be a good representative. Do you know that though we're not like this world, thank God, and we shouldn't eat like the world, drink like the world, curse like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, fix our hair like the world, we should not be of this world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We should not be like the world. Nevertheless, the nicest people in the city of Hammond ought to be God's redeemed people marching through on the King's highway. Most courteous folks in high school ought to be God's students. Most courteous folks out at the plants ought to be God's people. Most courteous people in the neighborhood ought to be God's people. The friendliest crowd, the nicest crowd, the least contentious crowd ought to be God's people. Now then, turn me down just a trifle, fellas. If the city of Hammond and the Calumet region doesn't like us because of our stand against evil, let them lump it. But may they not dislike us because we're not likable. This kind of a pious attitude, you know, said, hey, let's have a drink together. And you say, no, I'm one of God's redeemed ones. That's nauseating to them, to God, and to me. No, we ought to be courteous.
We're on the King's highway, on the will of God. Sure, we're God's people, bought with a price, on our way to heaven. Stay on the highway. Don't veer to the right or the left. Don't get tangled up with Moab as you march to heaven. But be sure that they see a spirit of love and kindness in you that's akin to the spirit of Christ himself. I'll not go into stories I'd like to, but time will not permit. But time and time again in this area, I have won people to Jesus Christ because though they know my stand, I have been courteous and nice. I was in a certain business place yesterday and won the man to Christ yesterday in a business place in town. I've been trading there for a number of months now. And they know my position, as everybody in town knows my position on everything. If they don't, I'll preach about it tonight. Nothing is kept secret. I never put I always put a label on all the bottles I serve. Always do. And everybody knows what I'm against or for. But I try, though I make folks mad because of my position, I do not want to make folks mad because of my disposition. And I've traded this place for quite a while. And so the fellow asked me, he said, what do you think about liquor? He said, is it wrong to drink just a little bit of liquor or is it wrong to get drunk? And I said, it's wrong to touch it. Did you hear what I said? It's wrong to touch it. It's wrong to drink beer, whiskey, wine, martinis, Bloody Marys, be it what it may. It's wrong. It's a sin. Touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord. And I told him what I thought. But now, that's my position. But I did it in love and kindness. And I said, by the way, I've never asked you this question, but are you saved? And he said, no, I'm not. I said, would you like to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? And he said, I think I would. And there at the cash register, the angel of the Lord camped around the front door and told all the customers to go down the street. And he bowed his head and prayed and was saved. I would imagine he's here this morning. I think he's here this morning. And he promised he'd walk the aisle this morning. Now, why? Because God says, okay, you've got to go to the promised land and you've got to go through Moab. But while you go through, he said, don't be mean. Don't be contentious. Now, stand for what's right. Say no at the office to the dirty jokes, but do it nicely. Say no to the liquor, but do it nicely. I want members of First Baptist Church in Hammond more than I want 5,000 in Sunday school, more than I want 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10,000 in Sunday school. I want to grow up here in Hammond a group of godly people who walk with God and stay on the King's highway, and yet who do it in the kind of way that will bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something else, he said. He said, avoid entanglements while you go through. Avoid entanglements. He said, meddle not with them. Now, but bear in mind, here are God's people. Right through Moab is the King's highway. We've got to go. No other choice. But now the Lord said, on the way through Moab, don't marry any Moabite ladies. Don't date any Moabite girls. Don't go in business with any Moabite people. You are going to Canaan, but stay on the highway. Don't meddle with the Moabites. Listen to me. We're on our way to heaven. Young people, don't date unsaved people. Be nice to them, but don't date them. Be nice to them, but don't marry them. Be nice to them, but don't socialize with them. Be courteous to them, but don't meddle in their activities. You, listen, God said, stay on the highway with my people. You go with God's people. You marry God's people. You socialize with God's people. And let me say this too, parents, you better encourage your young folks to do the same. You encourage your young folks, if you do, to meddle and socialize in every kind of activity at secular schools. Don't you be surprised when your daughter falls in love with a heathen boy and comes home and breaks your heart. I do not know of one, now follow me, I do not know, Dr. Billings, of one single Hammond Baptist high school student that is going steady with an unsaved boy or girl. Not one. Not one parent has come to me this year and said, Pastor, my daughter or son goes to Hammond Baptist High School, but they're in the wrong crowd. Not a one. But dozens have come to me and said, my boy or girl goes to a secular high school. They've gotten off in the wrong crowd. And that is not to say we're not to be nice to the unsaved. It is to say we're marching to Zion. We're supposed to stay on the King's highway and not intermingle socially with unsaved people. But you say, how are you going to win them? Our teenagers win more teenagers than all of the compromising teenagers put together. Last night I was in my study. David knocked on my door. What's the door? He had one of his buddies there with him. Both of them lettermen in basketball. David was panting. He could hardly talk. He said that. He said, we had 110 at soul winning tonight, teenage soul winning. And he said, Dad, we won 191 kids tonight out on soul winning. Listen, kids that stay on the highway and don't meddle with the unsaved get more unsaved saved in a day than the other crowd does in a year. You don't win folks to Christ drinking to win them. You don't win folks to Christ growing long hippie hair so you can win long hippies. No, you don't. You win folks to Christ when you walk straight, stand erect. Stand for what's right. Walk with God's people. Stay on the King's highway. Don't intermingle with Moab. Don't meddle with Moab. Don't run with Moab. Don't dress like Moab. Don't talk like Moab. Don't sing like Moab. Talk like God's people. Dress like God's people. Act like God's people. Behave like God's people. And you'll win more folks like that than you would if you became one of them and looked like them and acted like them. I'm sick. I'm sick up to here of Christian people trying to use hippie music with religious words to win a bunch of hippies. You never get it done that way. God didn't send us with a compromised message from heaven. He sent us with an ultimatum from the King of Kings. Avoid entanglements. Something else. Are you listening? Something else. Moses said, we'll walk through your land. We'll stay on the King's highway. But as we do, he said, we'll only have one bit of intercourse with you. We will buy your food when we're hungry and buy your water when we're thirsty. That's all we'll do. We'll just buy your food and buy your water. Now, notice this. He didn't say we'll borrow your food or beg your food. He didn't say we'll set up pup tents in Washington. If you're going to go to Washington to demonstrate, you get you a hotel room like all the decent people do. And keep your carcass off our property we put up there. I wish we had some senators and congressmen and administrators and executives in Washington that had enough fortitude to stand for decency and right. God's people never beg. God's folks don't have to. He said his seed would not beg bread. God's people work for what they get. God's people, they didn't go through Moab and say, Moses, look, said, while we're going through Moab, would you mind feeding us? No, sir. Moses said, we'll pay for what we get. We'll not beg. So God's people, as they march, now listen to me carefully, God's people, as they march through Moab, as we live in Hammon, on our way to heaven, we're to be the most honest people in this town. We're to pay our bills on time. We're to have good credit rating. We're to take care of our debts promptly. We're God's people. We're not to say to Hammond, and I know preachers, God pity them and God kill them. I know preachers that go to businessmen and say, I'm a reverend. Could I have a discount? I wouldn't give you a dime for a carload of them unless I could push the carload in the river. We're God's people. We're not beggars. We pay for what we get. We don't go hitchhiking down the highway. Moses didn't say, we'll hitchhike our way. You'll forgive me. I did something very mean. And I always get criticized for this, but I always like to get criticized for it because I think it's funny. I had been besieged with this crowd of hippies over here, used to be over here. I had been besieged by them for months and months about the establishment, the establishment, the establishment. They had heckled me and bothered me to death. You know, the establishment, establishment, the establishment. And I was driving down the expressway out here between Munster and Hammond, that what is now the Borman Expressway, I think, and I saw one of this crowd over here hitchhiking. And so I stopped, passed him, and he thought he had a ride. Was he in for a surprise? I just pulled over, he came up, and I rolled the window down. And I said, it's a good thing there's some of us in the establishment who work for a living, so you bums can bum rides off of us, isn't there? I rolled the window up and took off down the highway. He said, I don't like that. Well, you lump it then. God's people aren't beggars. That's right. I don't have much, but I'll tell you what, I've gritted and I've clawed and I've mowed yards and I've shoveled snow and I've thrown paper routes and I've worked in grocery stores and I've worked in every kind of place. I've done carpenter work and I worked my way through college, and what I've got, I dug it out with my own fingernails. And God give us some American people that don't look to Washington once a month for a handout or a check. Well, though we are God's people, we'll say to this old heathen nation, we'll make our own way, thank you. And that's why Hammond Baptist High School won't take one dime of government money. I don't care how many Catholic schools take it. We'll finance our own high school. We'll take care of our own projects. We'll just ask Moab to let us buy some food when we're hungry and some water when we're thirsty, and we'll just make it fine because we'll walk straight, be honest and above reproach as we march through Moab toward the promised land. But here's the greatest danger of all, and I say this in closing, and that is we should not be affected by Moab. Now then, I want to use the mic over here on the left. Here's the great temptation. Here are God's people. Here's the promised land. Here we are in the wilderness. Between the wilderness and the promised land, there's Moab. Now, we have to go through. Okay, the Lord says, don't turn to the right nor to the left. Now, you follow me, and I want everybody here to hear what I'm going to say now. Don't turn to the right or the left. Don't buy property. Don't meddle with them. Don't use their thrills. Don't borrow from them. You just make it on your own. But here's the way we do it. We're marching through. And so I look over. Now I'm on the highway. I look over off the highway and I see how the Moabitess fellows wear their hair. I say, hey, I like that. I think I'll fix my hair like that. Hold it. Hold it. God said, don't become affected by the Moabites. And so the girls on the highway to the promised land look over and say, hey, nothing to do with it, just happened to get on the side. Hey, look at the short skirts. They're all pulling their skirts down now. Look at the short skirts the Moabitess lady. Now, on the highway, I'm a Christian on my way to heaven. I think I'll just pull mine up a little bit. Now, you know, that's exactly what's happened in America. I go to church after church across this country where people on the King's Highway have been affected by the Moabite dress, the Moabite music. You know what? I started preaching 25 years ago, and I cut my preaching teeth on Amazing Grace and How Firm a Foundation, and there's a fountain filled with blood, and I'm not going to let this jerky, herky kind of a dirty beat, I'm not going to let it affect the music of our church. We'll just keep on singing. Hope it's been singing all the time. You see, that here's the trouble with the world. Now, God's people, we judge how far we are from the world, and just stay that far all the time. When the world goes a little bit, we go to, then we can say we're just as good Christians as we always were because we're just as different. Don't you see? If the men in the world wear their hair down to here, we'll wear ours down to here because that's as much difference as there ever was. No, the truth is, let's decide how we're going to wear, and I'm not kidding, let's decide how we're going to wear our hair, and no matter how long the world gets their hair, we'll wear ours like we think we ought to wear it. I'm getting my hair cut the same way I did. Well, as much as I can. Not as much of it is being cut. By the way, my hair is not falling out as bad as it used to be. Neither is Howard Paradise's. We don't have as much to fall out as we used to have. But, you know, we're not to be just so far from the world. We're to be what we ought to be. As we walk through toward the promised land, as we journey through, we're not to even look at Moabites. We're to say, we'll dress like God, like we've always dressed, and like God wants us to dress. You girls, go home and lengthen your skirts. Good night. You look like a bunch of Moabite heathen. We're on our way to the promised land. We're not to, fellas, go home and get a haircut. Listen, you may be on your way to heaven, and you might be the finest Christian, but you look like Moabites. You say, Brother Hyams, you preach on long hair and mini skirts every Sunday. No, you missed it. Twice every Sunday. I'm just not going to be affected by Moab. That's all. We're on our way to the promised land. We're God's people. And God says, don't turn to the right or the left. Buy food when you're hungry. Buy water when you're thirsty. Don't get one foot of property. You're my people. Don't be affected by Moab's dress, Moab's hair, Moab's lingo. That's one reason why I don't like to see young people use the lingo of the world. As I've said so often, cool means not hot, neat means not wrinkled. And dig means to get a shovel and turn the dirt. If you want to say I understand something, say I understand it, not I dig it. That's Moab's language. If you want to say that's a cool dress, if you mean by that that air blows through it, okay. But if it's a pretty dress, say a pretty dress. If you want to say, a certain member of our staff the other day was talking to some lovely young ladies and said, have you guys eaten yet? And I said, what do girls look like where you came from? You guys eating yet? Now, we're all that way, aren't we? We're affected by Moab's language, aren't we? It so happens that, now I start to describe guys, but you can't do that much anymore. I sort of say guys have short hair and trousers, but that more describes the girls. But thank God, not the lovely girls we have here. Our speech, our dress, our habits, our hair, our music, our art, we should not just strive to keep the same distance, but we ought to stay on the same highway, no matter how far off they veer. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'll be different at school. Stay on the highway. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'm the only one in my neighborhood. Stay on the highway. But you say, Brother Hiles, folks think I'm peculiar. Stay on the highway. They're God's people. Act like it. Talk like it. Dress like it. Fix your hair like it. Sing like it. God's people. God's people. Now, I don't think those Israelites, as they marched through Moab down the King's Highway, went like this. Boy, I think they got together and they marched down the highway and looked over and saw those Moabite people and said, poor heathen. Not out loud, inside. Boy, we're lucky to be God's people. Boy, guess where I'm going? I'm going to the land that flows of milk and honey. You folks got to stay here in Moab. Oh, boy. Listen, that's one reason why I say to our people, hold your head high and your shoulders back and stick your chest out and be thankful you belong to a peculiar crowd. Instead of the Moabites laughing at you, under your breath, not to them, but snicker to Moabites. Because one of these days, brother, we're going to get to the promised land, and every Moabite that comes in is going to be peculiar then. And so Moses said, Your Highness, we're God's people. We have a land, not now, we have a land. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feed at home in this world anymore. And may I say again, ladies and gentlemen, we'll win more people. We'll do more good. We'll get more people saved if we will stay on the King's Highway and act like God's people ought to act than we ever will by trying to act like the Moabite people. Story I love to tell, I told before. I give you this and I'm through. I was a kid, I was always somewhat of an athlete, never a great one, never was the greatest at anything, but always could play a little bit of everything. The best thing I could do was play baseball. And the best thing I could do at baseball was pitch softball. And I was a semi-professional softball pitcher, made my living pitching softball for a while. I pitched for the Dallas Railway and Terminal Company, or the Transit Company, in the City Softball Ball League in Dallas. We were playing for the state championship, and it was a big deal now, a big deal. It was one of the biggest things in town, and it was a great big deal. Playing for this championship, and we weren't supposed to be that good, but somehow we'd beat the better teams, and we'd gotten, and I was only 17 years of age, and I'd already learned how to pitch a curve and a rise ball, an in curve and a drop, and so forth. And so we were playing for the championship, and it was the biggest game we'd ever played, or I'd ever played, or ever have played. So they came out, and they said, we're playing on Sunday night at 7 o'clock at Fair Park in Dallas, the state fairground. And I said to the manager of the team, I said, I'm sorry, I can't play on Sunday. He said, but wait a minute, now hold it. He said, this is the state championship game. I said, I don't care. I can't play on Sunday. Well, he said, well, now, wait a minute, Jack. He said, you got 51 other Sundays a year to go to church. In fact, he was a deacon in the church, too. But he said, you're the only pitcher we've got. Now, we don't have another pitcher on the team that could have a ghost of a chance. He said, now, you've got to pitch. And I said, no, I don't. It's on Sunday. I can't pitch. And that night, I went to church. When I got there, the entire softball team in uniforms were parked across the street in their cars. Now, all of them were men. 21 and over, most of them in 25 and 30 years of age, and I was the only teenager on the team. But I was the only pitcher they had that could throw the ball to the plate very hard. And so They were out across the street, and the manager said, "Now, Jack, we're begging you. It's the only hope we've got. The state championship game, you've got to pitch." And I said, "I'm sorry." And they started laughing. And they got mad and cursed me as I walked in the church. They lost the game 10-0. And those fellows wouldn't speak to me. I mean, they wouldn't speak. They hated my insides. And it broke my heart, really. Years passed. Years passed. I was preaching at the Junius Heights Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. When I finished preaching, a man came to me, middle-aged man. He said, "You don't know me, do you?" I said, "No." He said, "I'm Joe Young." I said, "Joe Young? What do you know?" "Sure, Joe." He said, "I was second baseman on the softball team that you pitched for years ago." He said, "I also played professional baseball in the Triple-A League at the time. But I was second baseman on the Dallas Railway team." He said, "Jack, I was one of the fellows cursing you that night when you walked in the church. But," he said, "as you walked in," he said, "I bowed my head and began to cry and said, I wish I had that. I wish I had that." He said, "I got it." He said, "I got saved because of that night." He said, "I'm now chairman of the board of deacons at this church where you're preaching tonight." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, thank God we're going to heaven, but we have to stay here on earth for a while. We have to march through a world that's a foreigner to the gospel of Christ. We have to march through a heathen land while we march. Let's be God's people. Let's act like it, dress like it, sing like it, talk like it, stand like it, wear our hair like it. And let's let the world know that we'd 10,000 times rather be strangers now and citizens in heaven than be citizens now and strangers later. Be careful. Be careful. I'm bound for the promised land. Hallelujah. I'm bound for the promised land. Praise the Lord. Oh, won't you come and go with me? Today, if you're not one of God's people on the King's Highway, may I invite you to join with us and travel toward heaven. We'd like to have you as we journey on the King's Highway. Let us go together, please. Our Heavenly Father, speak to the hearts of our people. May the will of God be our portion. May we stay on the highway, not veering to the right or the left. Help us, dear God, not to be affected by Moab, not to meddle with Moab, not to get thrills from Moab, not to inerny with Moab, not date with Moab, not to dress like Moab, not to sing like Moab, not to fashion ourselves like Moab. But may we heed the words of the apostle who said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, every head is bowed, everyone still, hands all quiet too, everyone still and quiet. I wonder how many Christians will be honest this morning and say, "Brother Hiles, I've been affected by Moab. I'm saved and I know it, but something about me has been affected by Moab. And this morning I ask God to forgive me as one of His children. I have let this world influence me too much." Would you be honest and ask God's forgiveness? Every eye is closed. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the house, all over the house, way up high. Keep your hands up. Others will join us, please, all over the house, all over the house. Thank you. You can lower your hands. Father, bless these dear ones, and may we take pride in being God's people, and may we stay on the King's Highway. Now, this morning, heads are bowed. Many of you are not running with the King's crowd. You ought to have a church like this. You ought to come down this aisle this morning and say, "I'm one of God's people, but I do not have a church home. I'm not serving God. I want to join this church by transfer of membership." Others ought to come and say, "I want to get baptized. I'm one of God's people." But wait a minute. There are others that say, "Brother Hiles, I'm not even saved. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven." I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I'm here this morning, and I do not know that I'm ready to die. I do not know that I'm going to heaven when I die." Brother Hiles, would you pray for me? Lift your hand, please. First on the lower floor. You'd say, "Pray for me." God bless you, fella. God bless you, fella. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Others on the lower floor. Pray for me. God bless you, dear lady. God love you. God bless you, little lady. And back in the back. God bless you. Yes, near the back. Yes, I see you. Others on the lower floor. You want to know that you're saved. You want to know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Yes, God bless you, little lady. I see that hand. God loves you this morning. Others? Are there others? Yes, God bless you on my right. Yes, I see you. Who else would say, Brother Hiles, I'm not saved, but I wish I were. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please, on the lower floor. God bless you, pal. God bless you, little lady. I see you. And God bless that other one. I see you. Are there others, please, on the lower floor. God bless you on my right. I see you. Are there others, please? Are there others? Quickly on the lower floor. The balcony on my left, that's the east balcony. You'd say, include me. God bless you. I see you, lady. God love you. Are there others in the east balcony? You want to know you're going to heaven. You don't know it, but you wish you did. Would you lift your hand, please? The center balcony, may I see your hands? Would you raise them? Do you want to be saved? May I see your hand? The balcony on my right. God bless you, pal. Are there others? God bless you, fella. Are there others? All right, Father, speak to all of these. And this morning, may everyone who ought to be saved come to Christ. May those that ought to get baptized come for baptism. May those that need to get back with God's people on the highway toward heaven and join a church of God's redeemed people marching to Zion, may they come to join the church today. Speak to our hearts in power. Oh, God, do so. Now, our heads are bowed. In just a moment, the choir is going to sing. And they're going to sing, Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me. I'm going to ask you fellows to hold the young people coming to the back door till I give the signal. Those of you all over the house this morning who say, I will trust Jesus today, or I will get baptized today, or I want to join a church with God's people today, I want you to leave your seats and come toward the aisle and down the aisle to the front and let me know this morning if you're making your decision for Him. Father, give us, we pray, the blessed power of God in this invitation hour. In Jesus' name, amen.